Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, I was watching an episode of one of my favorite shows, The Big Bang Theory, when Sheldon's girlfriend invited him to do something by saying, "Come on, it'll be fun." Sheldon's response was to get up, get a dictionary, hand it to her, and say, "Why don't you look up the definition of fun and get back to me?" You might have the same response for me in just a minute, because I want to invite you to have a little bit of fun with me this morning as we look at a couple of really cool things in the Greek. Now, is there anyone who's wanting to get me a dictionary now to look up the definition of fun because you think I might have it wrong? Well, at the very least, if you don't think it's fun, I think you'll think it's interesting. So our gospel lesson for today is Jesus' baptism according to Mark. A couple of Sundays ago, our guest preacher, Vicar Christina, told us that Mark has a sense of urgency in his writing, and he moves along so fast. For example, look at how the Gospel of Mark begins. It doesn't begin with Jesus' birth story. There's no Mary or baby Jesus or shepherds or angels or magi, because Mark has something to say and he wants to get right down to it. And so he starts his gospel with the words of the prophet Isaiah, with some actions by John the Baptizer, and then before you know it, he moves us to the baptism of Jesus. And that's just in the first few verses. Mark also tells us the story of Jesus' baptism a little differently. So first, unlike the other gospels, in Mark, the words we all know well from Jesus' baptism, "You are my son, the beloved, in you I am well pleased," in Matthew and in Luke, everyone hears those words, including the crowds gathered there. But in Mark, only Jesus hears those words. It's as if the crowd who was gathered at the bank of the river couldn't see or hear what was unfolding. But we, as the reader, we get to know and we get to see. Mark also doesn't offer as many descriptors or details about the event. But the author of Mark does offer one description that the others don't. The other gospel writers use the word "opened" to say that the sky was opened and that the Spirit descended like a dove. This word and the picture it paints for us of the sky opening could have been as simple as the clouds parting. But it's also possible that the author of Mark was referring to the ancient understanding of the earth and sky. The people at the time of Jesus believed that the earth was like a plate and that the sky was a dome over that plate, kind of like a cake plate or maybe even a cheese board. The domed sky, they believed, had gates in it, which sometimes opened, and that's how water was let in and that's how it rained, is those gates would open in that dome. And so when Matthew and Luke say that the sky was opened, they could mean that the clouds parted, or they might mean that that gate in the dome might have been opened. But that's not what Mark says. And here's where the fun begins. Mark doesn't say that the sky simply opened. Mark says that Jesus saw the sky torn apart or ripped apart. The Greek word that Mark uses here means to rip or to violently tear apart. It's a really dramatic and powerful word, much different than opening a window or a door or a gate. It's very possible that Mark here is responding to a verse in Isaiah, one we've all heard before. Lord, that you would open the heavens and come down. Mark is saying that in Jesus, this is exactly what God has done. Right? If the sky had just opened like a door or gate, then it could be closed again. But once the sky was ripped open, that boundary between heaven and earth was destroyed. What God did was destroy that boundary, the barrier between humankind and God forever. The sky was torn and God came through. Mark is telling us that in this Jesus, in Jesus, God's presence and power are on the loose in the world, and that nothing, no thing will ever be the same again. The heavens, that barrier that separated God from humankind, would never be closed again, and God would never again be confined to a safe or sacred place apart from humankind. In Jesus, God has entered the messiness of humankind and would never, ever leave us. You want to have some more fun with the Greek? Okay. The word that means torn or ripped apart is actually used twice in Mark. There are two great tears or rips in Mark's gospel, and they bookend Jesus' ministry. The first happens in our lesson for today, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in his baptism. The second happens when he breathes his last on the cross. In this first great tear, we see the veil between humanity and God being completely removed. God removed that barrier between heaven and earth, between God's self and humanity. And at the other end of Mark's gospel, when Jesus died, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, just as the heavens had been torn apart at Jesus' baptism. That curtain no longer separated the Holy of Holies, the place where God's presence resided, from all the people, from that common area where everyone was gathered, because nothing could ever again separate God and God's love from God's people. That curtain is now forever open, never to close again, never to separate God from God's people. Now, just like the tearing of the heavens would have been no easy task, the temple curtain wasn't simply a piece of fabric. First century historian Josephus described the curtain as 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide. It was the thickness of a man's hand. And when it got unclean and had to be clean, it required 300 priests to clean it. God tore that curtain apart, just like God tore the heavens apart at Jesus' baptism. God loves us. God loves the world, the cosmos, every created thing so much that God sent Jesus to us to reveal that love. God tore open the sky to be with us forever so that nothing ever again can separate us from God's love. Now, I know that most of you, if not all of you, have known your share of torn places. Maybe even right now, there's a torn place in your life, in your heart. times when you felt like the very fabric of your life was being torn into. Times when you have experienced the ripping open of your heart and your soul. Beloved, the outcome is the same as in Mark's gospel. The torn places is where God comes through. In great love and mercy and compassion, just like a parent has for their children, God desires so deeply to be with us in the midst of our pain and suffering that God comes to us when the fabric of our lives is torn apart to be with us in the midst of it. There is no barrier strong enough to keep God from coming to be with us. And when God does come to us in those torn places of our lives, God says the same thing that God said to Jesus. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Sisters and brothers, God's beloved children, hold so closely in your heart the truth that nothing, no thing, is strong enough to separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Amen.